It's quite current because we actually went to the game on Saturday, and it's very, very sad to see. There seems to have been a breakdown between the supporters, who have always been a massive part of everything that Charlton's done, in particularly in recent years. They've been a political party, they've been a major force in getting the club back to where it is now. They've supported the club through some very difficult times. And they're clearly very, very unhappy at the moment, which is, you know, really, really disappointing to see. When the club was so stable for so long, under very careful stewardship, and to see kind of the frequency of change of management, some of the choices of management, it's very difficult from a fan looking in to see and understand things like that. The problem with it all is, of course, is that the club was in dire financial straits and needed somebody to come in and take care of those problems and issues. And that's what the guy's come in and done, and he's bankrolled the club for a long period of time. The problem is, the club's going the wrong direction from where everybody thought they would be going in terms of onwards and upwards and into the Premiership and challenging for the Premiership. So I think that's not helped things. Some of the PR things that have gone on, I think, as well, haven't helped at all. Some of the terminology used. And at the moment, it just seems to be vitriolic towards both parties. And that's not always good for it's a lot more like a messy divorce than a happy marriage at the moment. And it's very, very sad to see. I mean, the game on Saturday was a cracking game of football for a neutral. It was brilliant. Neither team could defend, but both teams looked really, really dangerous going forward. So it actually made for a really entertaining game of football. The problem with it was that's not what Charlton need. They need to be solid. They need to be stopping goals going in and starting to pick some points up.
It's a difficult situation for, say, the coach, the head, Jose Rego, and the players to be in, because obviously, as you said, that the connection between the fans and the team that you played in was really close. The connection seems to be a disconnect with the club and the fans, not the players, but it's a really awkward. They're almost like a third part of this.
I think the problem that comes is that players react to situations.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been a player a long period of time. Sometimes players are looking for excuses, and sometimes all of that's going on behind masks the fact that actually you're not doing it on the park.
Yeah.
And difficult for the players because they will pick up on the atmosphere and things like that, but you know, they need to pull together now. I think Jose, bearing in mind the criteria that the owner puts in terms of who he's going to appoint, you know, it's a fairly select list of people. And Jose did a fantastic job when he came in at Charlton. And he was very highly regarded for the type of football that they played, and also for the fact that, you know, he got them out of trouble. They were in a difficult situation when he took over, and he got them out of trouble comfortably, playing some great football. And to me at the time, I thought, well, that's he's a shoo-in for next season. Of course, he suddenly went and he had his mind on somebody else. And I think that's when Bob Martin came in, wasn't it?
Bob Peters.
And so you just think, well, you know, the guy's done a great job. The fans like him. And, you know, out of the blue, that's all disregarded. And I think he found himself in another very interesting situation with Blackpool. So
yeah.
That was a baptism of fire.
A Charlton then a salutary lesson, as you say, you know, that the way that they were so stable, the way that the club was run, that things can turn very quickly. And, you know, what's happened to Charlton and other football clubs, whilst they use Charlton as a model of how well to run a club in the past, can also sort of look at it and go, well, there are lessons to be learnt, we have to be careful.
Well, I think being involved in kind of business now, I think the only thing that I was very surprised at, given how successful the club was at reinventing themselves, is the fact that there wasn't a succession plan for Alan Kirbishley.
Yeah.
Alan had been there 15 years. It was clear towards the end of that that at some stage in the near future it was going to be a parting of the ways.
Yeah.
I think Alan had felt that he could possibly take them as far as he could take them. 15 years was an awful long time, but it was a fantastic time for the club. But the club had prepared and geared itself up, the background stuff around the community, everything was really, really well thought out, and everything that they'd done and planned to do was executed. And all of a sudden they found themselves in a situation where they couldn't agree a situation, and Alan went. But they wanted to keep the coaching structure that Alan had left behind. But you know what managers are like coming into a situation like that. They want to bring their own people in. So I know two or three of the people that were interviewed for that, and they actually said, we want these people to stay in situ and we want you to work with these people. I know, in fact, that those people that were interviewed at that stage said, we don't want to do that. And they were some very good candidates.
Yeah.
And from that, they were then struggling to get the right appointment. Obviously, they brought Ian Dowie in, and Ian, unfortunately, was not a success. But then again, they trusted Les Reed to come in, and Les had no real... Les was a fantastic coach.
Yeah.
But when I worked with Les, he was always very happy to play that sitting in the background role and just do the coaching, because he knew he didn't have that managerial presence. And yet they did it with Les. And Les has gone on and done some fantastic things with Southampton. He really has. So clearly he's a very talented guy, but in the management side of things, the fans didn't really think it was the right appointment. His results were not great. And you know, and it was a salutary lesson, as you say. And from there, they've struggled with managers. They've, you know, I said to somebody the other day, I mean, we had Curbs for 15 years, and they've probably had about three or four managers in 15 months. And that just sums it all up, really.
It doesn't work, does it?
Really? And it doesn't look good at the moment. It doesn't look good. You'd have to say that they are kind of nailed on at the moment to go down. The only saving grace they've got at the moment is there's probably four clubs still involved in it. Charlton very much one of those. And there's still time at the moment, but they're going to have to put one hell of a run together to do that. And, you know, as we all know, the Championship is very, very competitive.
Absolutely. And just finally, you mentioned the fans right at the start. That they are a bunch of supporters that actually do galvanise themselves. And if you can get them on side, as an owner, as a club administrator, they're a very powerful bunch.
They're a powerful bunch, but they've done it before and they've seen the results, and they know that it works, and they have galvanised themselves well now. Where that's all going to go, I'm not sure, because this guy is very, very wealthy.
Yeah.
But I would just like to see a little bit more reaching out to the fans, talking to the fans, trying to understand it, get a little bit into the culture of the club, what's gone on before about the club. You know, who are the people that have seen that club through thick and thin? Who's the people that have supported them by taking boxes and, you know, supporting in some of the big ticket items, supporting the meals and the more corporate, you know. I don't know that they even talk to some of these guys, you know, and that's not what Charlton's about. As you said, when we were there, we knew that we had to try and sell ourselves to the fans, and we mingled and we spent time with them, and we were encouraged to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just think now, all you see now is it's a disconnect. And the lack of dialogue, I just don't think is constructive at the moment. And so it's a feeling of vitriol rather than trying to see how this can actually be improved. Because going down into the next division next season, everything starts with a different perspective. You know, what players can you attract? What money can you pay? How many supporters are going to renew their season tickets? And once you get down there, it's very, very difficult these days to get back.
Yeah.